in Luke chapter 1 in your Bibles, please. Luke chapter 1. And we'll begin in verse 26. So if you'll stand with me for the reading of God's word and honor of God's word, Luke chapter 1, verse 26, the Bible says, "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel Gabriel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying." Cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. This would have been a struggle. "And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." This began with an angel, Gabriel, appearing, and then all of a sudden it's just nonstop. It just keeps coming and coming. It would have been enough just to have the angel there. And then the angel said, "You're going to have a baby." And the angel said, "This baby's the Son of God. And this baby that is conceived in your womb will be called Jesus. He's going to be great. Son of the Highest. The Lord God shall give him the throne of his father David. And he'll reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end." And she's like, boom, 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 just taking this in. You know, what is going on? "Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this thing be?" Like, oh, I got you. Now, I don't know that was her attitude right now. I really believe that she was believing what was being told her, but still in her heart struggling with it. "Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this thing be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her." Title of the message is borrowed from what Mary said. Be it unto me according to thy word. Be it unto me according to thy word. Let's pray. Our God and Heavenly Lord, I need you tonight, and I acknowledge that this is your word, and it is your people. And so, Lord, I pray that you would work how you desire. I'd be out of the way, and Lord, that you'd help me to articulate what it is you want said. Lord, that we would simply open our hearts and our minds to what you have for us and be changed as a result of your preached word. And I pray this in your more precious name. Amen. Thanks so much. You can be seated. I want you to jump to verse 47. Look at Mary's response to this. It says in verse 46, "And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord. And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." My spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. Mary expressed that she had faith in what was being told to her. And that made it possible for her to have joy in this very difficult time in her life. And she would have to remember this in the things that she would be facing, especially as we talked about this morning, the Sunday school hour, the difficulty of the travel to Bethlehem and the struggle that was there. She would have to have faith in that time and in many other times as well. But her faith to believe who Jesus is what helped her in those difficult times. Her faith to believe in God helped her through her trials. Her faith to believe in God helped her to have joy in the midst of uncertainty. And I want to say this to start off with. God has made it possible for any true believer to experience joy at any time. But it starts with faith. starts with faith. If you have faith to acknowledge him as Savior, as Lord, if you have faith to acknowledge him no matter what is taking place, if you have faith to think about who he is and what he's done for you, it'll help you. It'll guide you and direct you in your trials. It'll bring joy no matter what's going on. You're familiar with the Christmas story. I was talking to somebody earlier today about how when we get in God's Word and we are repeating things that maybe you've heard since you were a child, and you want the freshness of the Word of God, you want the freshness of the Holy Spirit working through the Word of God on your heart and in your life. And even though you might know the details, your heart and your mindset ought to be this: God, speak to me tonight. Amen? And so we're going to look at some familiar things here. I can't help every time I look at this passage of Scripture, noticing those who believed what was being said or believed what was going on. And as a result, they were, because of their faith, they were helped by God in the trials. Of course, first of all, we have Mary. Mary getting ready for a marriage to Joseph. Mary, a chaste young woman, that would have been her focus, no doubt, for some time. And then something happens. Maybe she's by herself with her thoughts, and the angel Gabriel comes to her. And the Bible says in verse 28 that when he came in, he said, "Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." Imagine that, to know an angel was speaking to her, to hear this angel say, "Blessed art thou among women." Verse 29 then goes on to say, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. Her mind was running wild. What's going on? Why would he say that I would be blessed among women? The angel then said, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." He would tell her, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. Now let me say this, that's not what she was planning on. That's not what she was expecting. I'm sure she had no doubt desired to have children, but the angel tells her that she's going to conceive without ever knowing a man, and this conception would be of God. And she's been instructed to call him Jesus. And he's going to rule, and he's going to reign. And he shall reign, verse 33, over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Wow. Her mind is blown. Her plans are blown. Her day has changed a little bit. Whatever she was doing, whatever she was thinking about, whatever she was planning the next day and the rest of her life, it all got changed right then and right there. I don't know when she heard those things from the angel, if she tried to relate the prophecies that maybe she knew about in the Old Testament to what was going on. We already know her mind was trying to make sense of this, but if she connected the dots or not, we don't know if she did. I don't really have any indication that she figured that out yet. But an angel is speaking to me, and he's telling me I'm going to give birth to the Messiah. And then the angel leaves. And now she's left with the thoughts again. And she goes, "Did that just happen?" What just happened? No doubt troubled, no doubt scared, wondering what is going to take place from that moment on. But we find in verse 39, look there, "And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah and entered in the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth." Now I know that you are familiar with this story, but she made haste. And here's why she made haste. Because the angel Gabriel, before he left Mary, had told her that her cousin Elizabeth, who's old, who's supposed to be barren, who was barren, is with child also. And by the way, she's already 6 months along. And the angel capped it off by saying these words, "For with God, nothing shall be impossible." Mary just, I believe that this was confirmation for Mary, because Mary did ask a question. How shall this thing be, knowing or seeing that I know not a man? And the angel Gabriel said, explained that the Holy Ghost would come upon her, but then went on to say, "Oh, by the way, your cousin Elizabeth, who's really old and is barren and can't have children, well, she's already 6 months along. Because nothing's impossible for me. Because nothing's impossible for me." So Mary moved quickly. She wanted probably to see this, to know this. And if these things were true, to get that confirmation and to get that comfort and to be with somebody who's experienced some kind of a miracle as well. Different, but yes, still something awesome. And I think that that was God's intention as well. Because something miraculous was going to happen when she got there. And for Mary to go straight to Elizabeth, the God used the angel Gabriel intentionally telling Mary about Elizabeth. And so Mary went to see her. And as soon as Elizabeth sees her, Elizabeth says to her that she is blessed among women. Look at verse 42. "And she spake out," Elizabeth, "spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" Wow. Mary said nothing to her, and already Elizabeth is relating that she knows that you're the mother of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Same words the angel told her. Elizabeth is led by God to say almost the exact same words that Mary heard from the angel, coming from her own cousin, that helped Mary to realize this wasn't a dream. This is something that must be real. This is something that must be of God. And she said, "The mother of my Lord." Verse 43, "And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" Now that this all had taken place, Mary realized something, and it was something that we all need to realize. See, her faith was where it needed to be, and because her faith was where it needed to be concerning Jesus Christ, then God blessed her faith and helped her, not just in this circumstance, but in all the circumstances that would come in her life, to be able to rise above all of her circumstance. And that's why she said in verse 47, "My spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." When was the last time that you rejoiced in God your Savior? Well, because of the circumstances I'm in, Pastor, it's been a while. Or because of the situation, it's been hard. No, that's not what I asked you. When was the last time you rejoiced in God your Savior? Let me say it this way. When was the last time you rejoiced in God your Savior, regardless of your circumstances? She realized she was carrying the Savior of the world. And when she understood that, and when she believed that, when she put faith in that, her joy overcame everything else that was going on. All the struggles, all the thoughts that might have come, and just think about the fact that when she found out that she was pregnant, and yet she's known not a man, what would her husband think? Her future husband? What would Joseph think about this? What would her family think? How she could she explain to them that this is something from God? Would anybody believe her? Would she be an outcast? Would society look down upon her? And when she found out, the knowledge of the truth gave her faith. Faith gave her joy. Her joy overcame her fears. Her joy overcame her thoughts about all of those things. And because after all the angel Gabriel said to her, when he said, "For with God nothing shall be impossible," she went on to say in verse 47, "My spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." Why? Because nothing's impossible with my God. She had faith to believe that. She had faith to believe, for with God nothing shall be impossible. And that helped her in the circumstances of her life. I've said this before, faith to believe who Jesus truly is will bring joy no matter what your circumstances are. If you believe in Jesus Christ tonight, say amen. Do you believe who he truly is? If you believe who he truly is, then you can have joy no matter what else is going on in your life. So then we have John the Baptist. John the Baptist. So Mary had faith, rejoiced. John the Baptist rejoiced too. I love this. Inside the womb of Elizabeth. Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist. John the Baptist was being primed for the work of the Lord. John the Baptist would be the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. And John the Baptist leaped for joy. He wasn't called John the Baptist yet. Just a side note, God knows the spirit that's in the womb of every mother. I said God knows the spirit that's in the womb of every mother. God knows the individual. God gives the breath of life. God gives the spirit of life. God, it might be the mother and father that God used to create the physical features of the baby, but it's God Almighty that knows that child. David said, I am fearfully and wonderfully made, marvelous are thy works that my soul knoweth right well. In the mother's womb is life. Amen. And John the Baptist, inside the womb, here's an example right here. Primed in the womb of his mother Elizabeth, leaped for joy. It's almost like he knew that Jesus was there. Scholars have a hard time with this, but it says it right there. Look what it says back in verse 40 or 39. And Mary arose in those days and went to the hill country with haste into the city of Judah, and entered in the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe in her womb, the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. She said, what's the big deal about that? Babies kick all the time. Keep going. And she spake out loud, or she spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. Elizabeth's talking to Mary. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. If you believe in the inspiration of God upon God's word, say amen. So therefore, this is not Elizabeth. This is God who had Luke write these things. And the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. The babe leaped for joy. The sound of the voice of the salutation of Mary. Now, if I was Mary, I would hold that against John the Baptist the rest of my life. Because every time I came around, John the Baptist was there. I'd be like, hey, what happened? When you were little, I mean, you were excited when I showed up. What happened? But joy fills the heart of those who know Jesus. I'm going to say that again. Joy fills the heart of those who know Jesus. It ought to bring us joy when we come to the presence of God. It ought to bring us joy when we are in his presence. John 1 tells us about John the Baptist. John 1, 6 says, there was a man sent from God, his name was John. John was not of the seed of God, John was of the seed of Zacharias. John was a mere mortal, just like you and me. He would have a sin nature, he would have a free will. But there was something going on inside of John, even in the womb. John 1, 7 says, the same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, talking about John the Baptist. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. There was a time where John had to believe that as a man. But there was also something about the spirit of John as a baby, that when he heard the voice of Mary, he leaped in the womb of his mother Elizabeth. I'm just saying this, joy comes to all who simply have faith to believe. Do you have faith to believe tonight? Do you trust God? Do you know that he's your God? Do you know that he's your Savior? You can have joy no matter what circumstances are going on in your life. The next would be the angels. Look at Luke 2, verse 8. This will be later on. It says, and there were in the same country shepherds in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. The Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Now, we preached on this in the Sunday school hour this morning. I'm not going to repeat everything, but these would be the next to rejoice, the angels of God. They'd been waiting for Jesus to come since the foundations of the world were created by God. They understood that God's will was to send his son. They had seen him in his glories of heaven, but this would be the first time they would see him as a man, as a baby. And once he came, it verified what they understood. But once he came, the heavenly host rejoiced. God himself was manifest in the flesh to take away the sins of the world. Something in which they would never understand. In fact, Hebrews tells us something in which that they look into and they would maybe even desire, but they don't are going to understand or get what salvation is or the joy of our salvation, because you were the one that deserves the devil's hell, but Jesus died on the cross for his sins so you could go to heaven. And what an amazing thing that the host, the heavenly host, rejoiced over this child. Then the shepherds, in the same passage here, the angels came to tell the shepherds. You don't see the shepherds rejoicing yet. As we talked about this morning, they were a little afraid. Not a little, they were sore afraid, actually. They were trying to make sense of it. They had to go and see. In chapter 2, verse 20, it says, and the shepherds returned, glorifying God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told them. They glorified God. They believed what was going on, and it removed all doubt. They heard the angels. Yet didn't resist. Well, of course they removed all doubt, because there he was. They saw the baby Jesus. So surely they removed. No, he was a baby in a stable, in a rugged stable, in a manger, probably made out of stone. There was nothing special or amazing about the scene right there. There's no way you'd walk in and say, this is the Son of God. No, it took faith for them to believe what they saw. And they saw it and they believed. And they were excited about it. And they found him like the angels had said. When they saw that, it removed all doubt. They started rejoicing. You see, the only thing that is keeping you from victory today, the only thing that is keeping you from rejoicing today, the only thing that's keeping you from overcoming circumstances today is doubt. Doubt. The Bible says, for without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that is rewarded of them that know his name. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power to love and a sound mind. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I love the song, Faith is the Victory. The old devil is speaking everything negative into your ear regarding your circumstances. He wants you to believe there's no hope. He wants you to believe there's no help. He wants you to believe there's no God. He says you're foolish to think that God cares about you and that there's a creator God. The fact that Satan is trying to make suggestions to get you to believe that and you to listen to that is what's keeping you from the joy that God wants you to have. If you have faith to acknowledge God, no matter what is taking place, you can have victory. Go to Acts chapter 8, if you would. Acts chapter 8. Just an example of somebody Acts Acts chapter 8 and verse 26. God takes Philip, who's been faithfully preaching a revival, and says, Philip, I have a job for you. There's a man who needs to be reached. He's been seeking after me. He wants to know me, and I want him to know me, and I want you to help him. I'm sending you to him. He doesn't say all those things. He basically just takes him and has him appear and sees the Ethiopian eunuch over there, and he runs to him. But it says in verse 26, the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise, go toward the south, and the way that goeth down from Jerusalem into Gaza, which is desert. And he rose and went, and behold, there he was, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all treasure, and come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot. Read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, verse 29, go near and enjoin thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And desired Philip that he would come and sit with him. The place in Scripture which he read was this: he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, like a lamb before his shearer, so he opened not his mouth, or like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so he opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation, for his life is taken from the earth? And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began the same Scripture, and preached unto him who? Jesus. Amen. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest salvation first. Amen. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip. The eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way. What's that word? Rejoicing. Rejoicing. He put faith in Christ, and as a result of his faith in Christ, he rejoiced. No matter your circumstances, your faith in Christ brings joy. It's available to you. If you're lost, it's available to you. Or if you're saved and you've lost sight of who Jesus is, it's available to you. Maybe if you've been blinded, you can take care of either one of those this evening. If you're lost tonight, if you don't know for sure if you're going to heaven when you die, Jesus Christ, this is why he came to earth. He didn't come just to be born. He came to die on Calvary's cross. And he's standing at the door of your heart with arms open wide, knocking your heart's door, and you have to decide if you'll receive him or not. And if you will, you can have genuine faith to know who he is, and you can leave here rejoicing tonight. Maybe, Christian, if you've lost sight of who Jesus is, if you've been blinded because of your circumstance or because Satan's been whispering in your ear that you can't get over this trial or this difficulty or this hardship, understand something. If you're saved tonight, you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. That is an awesome thing. And no matter your circumstances, you can rejoice in the circumstance because you know Jesus. You know Jesus. I'll never forget. We had a friend in Bible college. He's a preacher one time. His name's Jeremy Rice. And after I got married, you know, we were just goofy guys. I mean, before my wife and I ever got serious, you know, he'd say, I shouldn't tell all the stories. But he'd say things like, you know, hey, Tad, next girl that walks in this cafeteria, you're going to marry. All right. And then it's like, you know, never mind. But anyways, we just do goofy stuff all the time. Well, he just continues to be that way. And so, you know, he asked me, I remember after we got married and we moved back to Oklahoma City so she could finish school. He's like, hey, how's married life going? I'm like, I love it. It's awesome. He'd just ask questions, things like that. And I remember when there was some difficulty at work. And I said, man, this situation happened at work. He goes, yeah, but you're married. He wasn't married. And so he's like, he wanted to get married. You know, he's just like, he's one of those bouncy guys. And I'd say, man, this problem happened. He goes, yeah, but you're married. I'm like, Jeremy, you're married. You should be happy. I'm like, okay, you're right. Okay, and then, you know, that just became a joke for us for a little while. And I'd say something, and it might have been negative, but he'd just say, yeah, you're married, but you're married. You should be happy. And he's a little annoying, but at the same time, you know, that is something to be happy about. That, That's something to be really, really happy about, man. I promise. I'm very happy. So, but we should have that mindset about our salvation. I'm facing financial problems. Yeah, but you're saved. You're going to heaven. My health situation hard. Yeah, you're saved. You're going to heaven when you die. I'm going through this trial, but you're saved. You're going to heaven when you die. Joy, rejoice, because of who you know. Because of who you know. Luke 1:37 is a very famous verse. For with God nothing shall be impossible. But be honest, I like what Mary said. I love what Mary said. Verse 47 of Luke chapter 2. Turn there if you would, please, in the Bibles. Sorry, Luke chapter 1, verse 47. Would you read this out loud with me? Stand with me if you would. We'll read this out loud, and then we'll close in prayer. Luke chapter 1, verse 47. Read it out loud with me. Ready? Begin. And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. May that be your heart tonight. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Our God in heaven, Lord, we're grateful and thankful for your word. And Lord, thank you for being our Savior. Lord, our God. Thank you, Lord, for your love and for your goodness, for your mercy. God, I pray that tonight, if there's any decision needs to be made, that we would make that decision. If there's a change that needs to be made in our hearts, that we'd respond to how you've spoken to us. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.